throughout the day today, I have thought about my mother, and she died a little over 3 years ago, and if she were still living, she'd be 101 now. She lived to be 98, and one of the things my mother had asked my brothers and I to do at her funeral was to sing one of her favorite songs, and the song was, "I Want to See My Savior First of All." Well, you can imagine that was difficult for us to sing at my mother's funeral. My brothers didn't sing, but I did, along with several of the grandchildren who joined me, so we had a group sing it together. But I want to see my mother, but I want to see my Savior first of all. When I was growing up, my father only had one other brother. That was my Uncle Albert Walter. So there were only two in that family with the last name Walter. And unfortunately, my Uncle Albert, raised in the same church as a child as my dad and so forth, to my knowledge, I'm not sure he ever made a profession of faith. And then when he married an unsaved girl. And there was never a lot of close fellowship there because we were all Christians and that family was not. I had three cousins. The only male cousins that I have were the last name Walter. William, Wayland, and Wilbur. We were the three DWs. They were the three WWs, you know. And all throughout our early years, we attempted every time we could to invite them to come to things at the church. If there was ever a father-son banquet or anything like that, my grandpa was always inviting these three to come. Because they were cousins, and we sometimes would spend a couple of nights at each other's home. And I have to tell you, though, I hated, I know that's a strong word, let me maybe think of a milder word, but I did not like going to that home. There was just absolutely nothing in that home that was Christian. Absolutely nothing. And there was cursing and swearing, and there was those cousins were always in trouble at school, and it was just a really, really tough thing to do to even go there for a day or two. My aunt on that family was just a cross old lady, and I couldn't wait to get out of that home and go back home. Now, I did not have a perfect home, but let me tell you, we had a Christian home. We prayed. My mom and dad had family devotions. We knelt by our chairs every night and prayed. And my mom and dad were so faithful in church. And today, as I was reminiscing, we had the kind of home that you wanted to be in. You know, it was a home where there was joy and a home where there was love and there was a home. And what a contrast. One home, I couldn't wait to get out of it. Another home, I couldn't wait to get back there. That house still stands where my parents lived and where I lived all my life until I was married, and they lived there many other years. The house is still there, but of course my mom and dad are gone and we no longer own the house, but a lot of wonderful, wonderful memories of things in that home. I want you to turn to Colossians 3 tonight. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And tonight, just for a few moments here, I'm going to remind us what Colossians teaches us about a home that a mother loves to stay in. a home that a mother loves to stay in. Do you know, we can all have those kinds of homes, can't we? Homes that a mother loves to stay in. Colossians 3, let's start with verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. If you remember all of Paul's similar style of writing these letters, what did he usually start his letters by doing? How did he begin his letters always? I'm not just talking about the first couple of verses, but what took place in the first part of his books or letters? Doctrinal teaching. He was addressing some doctrinal issue, something that was going on in that particular church or that particular congregation that perhaps needed some correcting. And so under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he would write doctrinal truth to them. But how would he end his letters? All right, application by duty or by practice. Now, in light of this, how should you live? And here in chapter 3, he is already moving on into the here's how you live part of Colossians. And so as he starts writing there in verses 12 through 17 that we read, he is going to give us some wonderful ways that we are to live our lives. And I took these and put them in the context of a Christian home, put them in the context of a home that a mother loves to stay in. And let's look at some of these characteristics. In verse 12, says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, and here are some things that can cause a home to be a very sweet home. Just a sweet home. What do we have there? Bowels of mercy. You know how that is translated other times? Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Bowels of mercy is tender-hearted. So to have a tenderness in the home. Kindness is mentioned there in verse 12. And then humility, rather than proud activity going on, there's humbleness of mind, there's humility. There's meekness, which is another word that's translated gentleness. So there's gentleness, there's tenderheartedness, there's kindness, there's humility, and long-suffering. This is patience. And so just think how sweet that home is that has these kinds of attitudes and actions being demonstrated in the home. Kindness, tenderheartedness, patience. Unfortunately, in many homes today, they're filled with anger and harsh words and criticism and sarcasm and cutting remarks and arguing. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Quickly turn over to, not exactly chapters there, but Proverbs 15. Verse 1 to 4. Listen to how similar the language is here in Proverbs to what we just read in Colossians. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Back in our passage in Colossians 3, verse 8 says, but now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And so a home that a mother loves to stay in is a sweet home where they've learned to allow the Spirit of God to temper their language and temper their actions. And verse 12 reminds us of that sweet home. But verse 13 reminds us of a forgiving home. It says, forbearing one another, there's that continual patience, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So a home that a mother loves to stay in is a forgiving home. In every home we have problems. There are misunderstandings, there are offenses, there are mistakes, there are failures. There are failures of words, there are failures of actions. Again, it's sad that sometimes in some homes there's never heard the words, I'm sorry, and never heard the words, I forgive you. But a home that a mother loves to stay in is a forgiving home. Unfortunately, again, instead of forgiving, there are tongue lashings and there are fights and there are families that are divided and take sides over issues. Sometimes years pass and there's never any forgiveness and never clearing the conscience. If we were to turn back a little to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 29, it says back to verse 12, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. But also down in verse 32 says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so what kind of homes do mothers like to never leave? A sweet home and a forgiving home where there's a loving spirit. But also verse 14 tells us about that loving spirit. It says, and above all these things, put on charity. Of course, we understand that that word is love, which is the bond of perfectness. Sad again to say that in some homes, love is a missing ingredient. I'm thankful that I grew up, and again, in a home where love was not a missing ingredient. I knew that my parents loved me unconditionally. Unconditionally. Wasn't based on my performance or based on what I could do or based on pleasing someone else. It was like God's love. It was agape love. It was unconditional love. And I'm thankful that I grew up in that kind of a home. And that's the kind of a home that a mother never wants to leave. A home where there is a loving spirit and unending love, eternal love. But in verse 15, what kind of a house do we have here? It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So it's a peaceful home, a home that's ruled by peace. Can our homes tonight be called a haven of peace? When we come home to our homes, are we coming home to a place where we know it will be a peaceful atmosphere, where there won't be a lot of turmoil, where there won't be a lot of anger and criticism and fear and being put down? We need to have homes tonight like this, that are homes where the peace of God is ruling in hearts. And then a home with a thankful spirit. Look at what it says in verse 15 at the very end of the verse. And be thankful. And then verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. And so a thankful home is a home that a mother will not want to leave. Thankful to God, thankful to others, thankful to the children, and the children thankful to the parents. And you know, just like we are often missing the word "I love you," we're often missing the words "I forgive you" or "I'm sorry." Well, unfortunately, we're often missing the word "thank you" in our homes as well. And certainly we should have homes that are thankful to the wife and to the husband and to the children and to God. Can thankfulness be a characteristic that's in our homes tonight? But in this passage, we can recognize that we're to have these kind of homes, a sweet home and a forgiving home and a thankful home and a loving home. But how do we get that? Well, there's some keys in this passage as well. Look at verse 11 and 12. It says, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is," what's the next word? "All." And what's the next word? "In all." There's one secret to being able to have a home that a mother never wants to leave. It's to have a home where Christ is all and Christ is in all. That's another way of saying a truly godly Christian home, where Christ is all and Christ is in all. Another word there that we have in verse 12 is the word "elect" and "beloved." These are terms that refer to the child of God. And so we're talking about a home that the mother never wants to leave. It has to be a genuine Christian home where Christ is all, where Christ is in all, and where each member of the family belongs to the Lord. But look at verse 16. We didn't read that earlier. And it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." There has to be, number two, not only Christ being the center of that home, but also a full surrender to the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And if we would be surrendered to the Word of God and have Christ as the center of our homes, because He is all and He's in all, then certainly we will have a home that a mother or a father or a child or a son or a daughter will never want to leave. It's a sweet home, a forgiving home, a loving home, a peaceful home, and a thankful home. And so Paul was challenging the believers at Colossae to treat one another this way, to have this kind of relationship with one another. And the Word of God is encouraging us to have that same kind of spirit toward one another tonight, that we treat each other that same way, and especially in our homes. I have to ask my own self this question: am I trying to lead a home where the mother never wants to leave it? I pray that my home will be that way, and I pray that all of our homes will be that way as well. Let's pray. Father, how wonderful if it can be said of us that we have these kind of homes, the homes where the mother never wants to leave that home. Father, I pray that you'll work in such a way to cause our homes to reflect the fact that Christ is all and Christ is in all. We pray that our speech would be tempered, that our emotions would be tempered, that our actions and spirits of forgiveness and love would all be governed by Christ and governed by his word. And so help us to live that life as individuals and then seek to have homes that reflect that as well. So bless your word to our hearts now and challenge us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.